Man, that's awesome. Turn your Bibles tonight to Colossians chapter 2. Next Wednesday night, we'll start back on the series of messages on knowing God. And then also Sunday week, start back on Philippians. And look forward to a good fall. And we'll also be preaching on our theme some more this fall. And just what a blessing it's been to see so many saved the last few weeks and baptism. Let's keep praying. As I had the opportunity today, just for a few minutes, to see some of the kids as they were leaving from school on their first day of school, and in the lobby over there were some of them talking about who cried and who didn't. which mamas cried, which daddies cried, as they brought their new experience of bringing their K-3 or K-4 or kindergartner to school. I remember very vividly my first day of school and going to the first kindergarten class there in the big city of Bowie, and I remember crying, little boy. So it was sad. I know, mother who leaves her little child at school for the first time, it can definitely be heart-wrenching. And two things kind of play into that, just the child leaving, but also watching your children as they grow. And sometimes that can bring about some heart, certainly some heart discomfort and some pain. We see in Colossians here that Paul is concerned for the church there in Colossae. He mentioned also Laodicea. So let's read here just a few verses. It says, verse 1, Colossians chapter 2, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted." Notice that now. This is going to be the message tonight. "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches and the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Kind of remind you that Christianity is Christ. "Walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith." Is that what it says? Notice that. In the faith. "Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or feigned deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. And Lord, we again pray for comfort tonight as we are seeing our country in disarray and so many other things going on. Lord, we are thankful for the comfort that you bring to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned Sunday about the comfort the Holy Spirit brings, but we'll talk about a few other things that bring comfort tonight. Again, we think about Paul's agony here. He's conflicted there in verse 1. Kind of like when a family sends their son or their daughter into war. That's kind of the reference here, way he's feeling. He's feeling conflicted about them and about them not seeing him, and just really concerned about them. Not just them, but the church of Laodicea and others who haven't seen him face to face. He's concerned not only about the difficulties they're facing, the persecution, but he's concerned about the cults. The cults. By the way, we're still facing those same concerns. The cults. I mean, there are so many. In that day, the Gnostics. And these were people who worshipped angels and considered Jesus an angel. And there was angel worshiping going on. And we still see that today. Mystics. Those who were spirit worshipers and would be considered today like the New Age movement. Religions and gurus and all of these things, mysticism. And we see that abounding today as well. In fact, we just see an explosion of it today. It's so widespread. And every day, maybe not so much every day, but for me, I'm confronted every day with something to do with my faith. Every day. Comfort, whether it's the feeling of discomfort, where my heart is in agony for something or someone, every day that happens to me. And I would say for most of you that happens every day as well. And for a mother coming and bringing the little child to school, it happened a couple of days ago. And it's legitimate, you know, legitimate agony, legitimate feeling, and so forth. And it is the mom and the dad who send their soldier into, you know, their kid into Iraq or their kid in Afghanistan or whatever it may be. But also it affects us on a daily basis as well, whether it's the antagonism at school, the antagonism at work, in which our faith is tried by someone who teases us or someone who says something about us. Or whether it's, again, me being a news junkie and you know, listening or reading Fox News and listening to the, you know, to David Gibbs yesterday morning for 8 hours and listening to this brilliant lawyer. He is amazing, who has been before the Supreme Court on numerous occasions. And you have to even be a very good lawyer to even be led in front of the Supreme Court. And he's amazing. And yet, as he's presenting all these things to me and to these, you know, 75 preachers that are there who represent their churches, and he's going through these legalities and he's telling us case after case after case of people, of churches, of individuals who have been sued for their faith. And where they haven't really done anything wrong, but they've been, because they stood, they got sued. And I'm telling you, it can become a little painful right here. It can become discouraging right here. I hurt right here. I feel discomfort. I feel agony. I feel agony for our country and the direction it's going. And man, I could name off all the things that are going on, but listen, it can get that way. Here we see Paul is conflicted with this church in Colossae. He cares for them so much and he's in agony towards them. He's concerned for them and he wants them to be comforted. And he just gives us a few things here that he says to them that would comfort them, that would comfort us and for us would comfort our hearts. Number one, very easy here, one of the greatest ways in which we can have comfort, of course, is the Holy Spirit. But besides that, is having assurance. We mentioned this a little bit Sunday, but having full assurance. Look there in verse 2. Says, and that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. The full assurance of understanding. I'm comforted today knowing that I have full assurance. I have full assurance. I've read the back of the book and we win. I mean, I have full assurance in knowing that that I'm saved. That no man can pluck me out of the Father's hands. I know we talk about this a few weeks ago, but it's always good. Look back at verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of the will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Listen, we have comfort in knowing because we have full assurance in the Word of God. The understanding of the Word of God. The understanding of the mysteries of God that are found in the Word of God. I'm glad today that I have comfort in knowing where I'm going when I die. I have comfort in knowing that, again, I read the back of the book and we win. And though we may go through a season of tests and a season of trials, I think of Miss Dana losing a dad and a brother in the same day almost, and that's the testing. That, you know, I think about the Waltons. I can't get them off my mind. You know, going to Boise, Idaho, get set up there, and then boom, you know, this happens. I tell you, that that can bring some tough times. But knowing you're there because you're in His will, chapter 1, verse 9, knowing you're there because you're in His will brings comfort. I don't know how many times in times past that I have gone through something, but I took comfort in knowing because I knew I was in God's will. Full assurance is found in our understanding and knowing our relationship with God and where it stands. Again, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I know tonight if I were to die, the heaven would be my home. I don't think so, hope so, or kind of so. Man, I know without a doubt. And when I lay my head down tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. Some of you are too. When I lay down my head tonight, I can do so in joy and full assurance. And yeah, I may lay down and pray for Joyce and Sandy, and I will, no doubt. Miss Dana and others. But I take comfort in knowing, not only for my own life, that I am in the will of God, but take comfort in knowing that that the Waltons are too. Full assurance. Full assurance. No doubt. No doubt. And I hope that you are there in your life. I hope you're there in your spiritual walk with the Lord. There shouldn't be a doubt in your mind and in your heart concerning your relationship with the Lord. When tough times come, full assurance brings comfort and hope for the future. And I love that song. It's one of my very favorite. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We can go through this life and even the good times and the bad times knowing that it will be worth it all. It's worth it. It's worth it. And I think about even the trials that our church has gone through over the years, and you know what? You come to today, and there's no doubt it's worth it. It'll be worth it when we see Jesus. Every one of them. Not only that, we see Paul mentioning this full assurance, but then he mentions verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Verse 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophies or vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after the Christ. By the way, the word spoil means to rob. Beware lest any man rob you through philosophy and vain deceit. Another thing that brings comfort is just encouragement from those in your life in spiritual leadership. By that I mean, whether it's coming from me as your pastor, or whether it's coming from your Sunday school teacher, or in my case, my dad, or my Paul in the ministry, Eddie Johnson, coming from a spiritual leader in my life. I could just see Paul saying to this church, hey, listen, I'm concerned about you. I'm very concerned about you, lest any man should beguile you. I'm concerned about you, lest someone would come in and rob you through philosophy and vain deceit and so forth. He warned them that they not be beguiled or victimized. I'm telling you, we are going to be in a position, and we already are, and we have been for a while. We are in a position where we're going to be encouraged, antagonized, persecuted to compromise. And when that comes, you need not only to be know that you're saved and in the will of God, but you need to be in a church like this one. You need a Sunday school teacher. You need a deacon. You need some spiritual leaders in your life to encourage you through those times when that comes in your life. Acknowledge and follow the spiritual leaders in your life. And we don't do that blindly. I'm not saying that at all. And that's what Paul's saying here is. He's just warning them. Be careful. There are people out there who are beguiling. I'm telling you, me and Caleb were at the motel last night, turned the TV on, and to that great, wonderful station, TBN. Beguiling. Enticing words. I said, preacher, you shouldn't mention names. I'm sorry, just can't help it. Be careful lest any man beguile you. Be careful lest any man spoil you. And we see not only do we have to be careful of those out there in the world, but those who are perceived to be in the spiritual world. Boy, we've got to be careful, don't we? And we need that encouragement. We need somebody to go to for advice. There is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. And as we go forward, it's almost like we think about parenting. I protect my kids. I protect my kids. And I'm still, and Caleb's 19, fixing to turn 20 this fall, and he's going to second year college, I'm still trying to protect him. Well, Clark's still trying to protect Kai. We're going to protect our kids as long as we can. We're parenting them as long as we can. Amen. And Paul's just simply parenting this church. He's conflicted about what they're going through and what they're going to face. And he's just saying to them, listen, understand and know the mysteries of God. Understand and have knowledge of the Lord. Take full assurance in knowing that the Word of God is true. And understand and be warned, there are people out there who are trying to deceive you. There are people out there who are trying to beguile you. They're trying to victimize you. They're trying to rob you. We live in that day more so than ever where this is taking place. Where slick packaging and music and all these things are trying to shift the culture. Not just the culture, but the Christian culture. And we have to stand. We have to stand in order. We have to stand shoulder to shoulder like the military and keep advancing. And godly leaders are essential in your life to warn you and encourage you. You need someone every once in a while we were talking about J.C. House today. I saw him last night. And man, I was telling him, how you doing? And I mean, a man in his late 70s had a lot of heart problems. He said he went to his doctor this last week, and his doctor said his heart is as good as it's been in 10 years. He went off of his medicine, and he said, I just feel so good, and I was so just, woohoo, all right. Maybe he can preach for us another 10 years. Amen. For a stewardship conference. But, you know, I think about Brother House and others in my own life who are there, who have encouraged me, who have warned me. I'm thankful that I can go to a conference like I did last night and hear preachers stand up and preach to preachers and to those 500 college students up there, Bible college students, and warn them and encourage them. And we all need that. We all need that. We don't need teachers or preachers to constantly get up and tickle our ears. And that is going on so much today. In fact, the lawyer said yesterday morning, Brother Gibbs said, that his understanding and his research, that 80% of all churches today, not Baptist churches, I'm talking about churches in general, 80% have bought the homosexual agenda, but look, hook, line, and sinker. They either have accepted it or they're neutral on it. 80%. 80%. Man, we need somebody to stand up blowing the trumpet that sin is still sin, that it's still wrong. And we need that. We need people to... You need myself and Brother Wiggins to stand up and say TBN. You shouldn't be watching TBN. Jill Osteen's a pop psychology guy. He's not a preacher. He's a motivational speaker. And you need that. Wolves in sheep clothing are all out there. And why shouldn't a preacher get up and name names every once in a while? I don't do it all the time. But you should. We need that. Because these guys are so slick. They're so slick. Paul was concerned for them. I'm concerned. Stinking lawyer. Got me all riled up. Then I come across this passage again. Paul says, comfort comes in knowing the Word of God. Comfort comes in having an Eddie Johnson in your life, a preacher who's in his early 70s that you can look up to. Comfort in knowing that you can call Dr. Henderson. I did this last week, and I can talk to him about church stuff, and I get encouragement from him. He's so encouraging. And I hope that you get that from me, and you get that from Brother Cox, and Brother Clark, and Brother Wiggins, and Brother Fiesler, and Brother Tramar, maybe. And, you know, that we get that. We get it. Brother Renz and Brother Zellner. I mean, you get that. You have spiritual leaders here who do take a stand and who do it, not just taking the stand and always constantly harping on things, but do encourage as well. Well, what a blessing. And again, Paul's just there. Be careful, he's saying. Be careful. Don't go over there with those people. And that's what we got to stand up and do. Don't go over there with those people. Be careful. That's good. Be steadfast, he said. Be steadfast. Don't give in. Don't compromise. And we need to do that. We need to stand fast. We need to stand firm in the faith. And lastly, there's comfort in when we begin not only to know the Word of God, and encouraged by those spiritual leaders in our life, but comfort in applying the Bible truth that we know, the Bible truths that we know. He speaks there in verse 6 and 7, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." We need to walk in Him. And that is, again, I encourage you that Christianity is not a set of rules. In other words, Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules whereby we live to achieve perfection or to achieve Christ-likeness, per se. It's where we walk with Jesus. We walk with Him. It is what would Jesus do. It's developing a relationship with Him. Again, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. And Jesus Christ desires a personal relationship with each and every one of us. He wants to, He desires that, that we walk with Him every day. And as we walk with Him every day, we receive that encouragement. We receive that comfort. We receive that peace. We receive that joy. It all begins at salvation and it continues. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and what? He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with everything that you have. Trust in Him. And as we go forward, we begin that walk with Him. Again, and everybody walks at different paces. When I was a kid, and I do this too, I walk fast. I want to get somewhere, I walk fast. My kids are like, Dad, you know, especially when they were little. And my wife too. Help, you know. My dad was the same way. Dad always walked fast. And, different kids began to walk at different ages. You know, Caleb started walking when he was like 2 months old. No, he was like 9 months old. And, but the other kids were later than that. Some kids don't walk until they're, 14, 15 months old. So we all walk at different times. We all begin to walk at different times. And so everyone in this room is on a different level, if you would, in their walk with the Lord. By the way, we need to remember that. We don't look down at somebody who... got to be careful. Amen. Everybody's in a different walk. But we all should be walking. Walking in first progress. I mean, walking means we're walking. I don't think that maybe includes walking backwards, but maybe some are. We need to walk with Jesus. So walk ye in Him, walking with Him, hand in hand, walking with the Lord brings comfort. And then it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Of course, this is verse 7 could be a whole message in and of itself. But there it says, rooted and built up in Him. Listen, we are rooted with Him. If we are, we're saved and we're rooted with Him, then when the trials come, we'll stand the test. If we're rooted deep in Him and have that walk with Him, then we'll withstand the test of the trials and so forth. Rooted and built up in Him. Notice it says established in the faith. I'm glad I know what the faith is. Glad I know the gospel. Rooted and built up in Him, in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted in Him. Walking produces growth. Walking produces growth. I think for me tonight, as I thought about this last night and then this morning and then on the bus on the way here for 4 hours with no speedometer working and no gas gauge working and something else not working and the thing beeping for 4 hours. Beep, 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 beep. I'm going to hear that in my sleep tonight. Beep, beep. I bet Brother Kevin fixes that. I again thought about the conflict in my own heart with what's going on in America, what's going on in churches at large, and then taking comfort in knowing that I'm saved and that we win. Eventually we win. And that I'm glad for great friends. Brother House was such an encouragement when I was up there, just to spend a little time with him. Encouragement from spiritual leaders. We take comfort in that. And then our walk with the Lord. Listen, we as time goes on, this world's getting darker and darker. I mean, it's the way it is. Perilous times have come. I don't mean to depress you on a Wednesday night. We take comfort in our walk with Him.
Amen.
I can't encourage you enough. We've really talked about the being humble and being broken and contrite. By the way, it's so easy to remember with HBC, isn't it? And just remembering that our relationship with the Lord is so important. Not because He just desires it, which He does, but for you, for me. It's good for us. It gives us assurance. It gives us comfort. It gives us peace. It gives us strength. I just want to encourage you the rest of the week. Make sure your walk's where it ought to be. Amen? All right, let's all stand.